Blog Talk Radio.
I know, because it's on the computer.
All right.
Welcome to another episode of the Slim and Kim Show. Tonight, we're doing Power, Book 3, Raising Kanan, Season 1, Episode 5, Recap. Now, I know I have been, came on Sunday nights. We're a little behind.
It was only yesterday.
It's
Monday.
I keep thinking it's later in the week.
Where do you think you are?
I don't know. I keep thinking it's later in the week. Like days are all running together.
Yeah, but they are. But they are.
All right.
That they are. All right, so...
This episode starts off with Kanan in his room getting dressed. He's looking in the mirror while he's putting his basketball jersey on. You remember them? You used to wear them basketball jerseys in the 80s?
Absolutely.
Yeah, we did.
I think that was a...
with the white t-shirts underneath?
I think that was a Patrick Ewing jersey.
I was a girl, and I still wore it. I had Orlando Magic, and then I had a black one. Somebody from the Knicks.
I had a Kevin Johnson for Phoenix Suns, and I had... a Jason Kidd for the Dallas Mavericks.
I think you still got some in the closet.
And I had a Jerry Stackhouse for the Philadelphia 76ers.
And I say it, always had the white t-shirt underneath.
You know what? Let's applaud jerseys back in the day.
The style. I had three brothers, so I was like a tomboy. Not even really dressed like girls dressed.
Did you just say your name is Tom and you're a boy?
No, I said I was a tomboy.
Oh. Okay.
Growing up, I had three brothers. I was a tomboy. So I didn't dress like a typical girl with tight clothes and stuff like that. I dressed with t-shirts and
Wait, hold up. All right. Saying that you're a tomboy is offensive to the men in this world.
I was a tomboy.
Hey, I still am a tomboy. Hey, I'm offended by that.
I'm still a tomboy.
I'm offended by that.
Why?
Because you're not a boy.
That's why it's a tomboy.
For the straight men in this country, in this world, I'm offended by you calling yourself a tomboy.
What are you supposed to call it?
No, I think you need to make it a public apology.
When I'm a girl, but I like to do what the boys do. I didn't like...
Okay, then you say that. Don't call yourself a tomboy.
Well, that's what it's called.
You're
right. I didn't like doing makeup and hair. I was fishing and playing in the woods.
And you're bad-mouthing guys named Tom.
Yeah.
And you're putting down boys by saying you're calling... saying that you're wrong.
I'm a tomboy.
Hey. So you're trying to say all tomboys act like girls?
No, all tomboys act like boys.
Are you trying to say that all guys named Tom act like girls?
Now, let's say, we're going to look up the definition of a tomboy.
It's offensive to me. I'm offended.
Yeah.
I'm offended.
Oh, tomboy. A girl who enjoys rough, noisy activities. Traditionally associated with boys. It's in the dictionary.
Oh, you clearly don't have... You clearly don't enjoy rough activities with me.
Yeah, okay.
Activities with me.
No.
Tomboy.
No, you're just too cool for me. We used to do activities.
You clearly don't enjoy rough activities with me. I don't know. Anyway.
Definition of a tomboy. A girl who behaves in a manner usually considered boyish.
Well, that's offensive. I just feel like...
Before
you're just
you really cut me off.
I feel like you're just trying to downplay a man.
I'm giving you the Webster Dictionary definition of a tomboy.
All right, whatever. All right, tomboy.
So before you really cut me off...
What did you say, Tom?
So I didn't dress like typical girls. I didn't wear skirts and stuff like that. I wore jeans and t-shirts.
You still wear boxers and tube socks.
Sometimes. So anyway, I went to the beach. I went to Wildwood one week with my friend and her family, and everyone's laying on the beach in their bathing suits and stuff. I have black jeans on and a Knicks. I had a Knicks basketball jersey with nothing on underneath, just a bra. Laying on the beach, like, it's hot. They're like, no shit, dumbass. You're in fucking black jeans and a black jersey on the beach.
Okay. And what was the point of that?
I don't know. Telling you a story. On my Knicks jersey.
That you were hot on the beach?
They still bring it up. Like, remember when it was 200 degrees out and you're laying on the beach in black jeans and a black jersey?
With your balls hanging out of your shirt?
I didn't wear bathing suits.
Balls hanging out of
Yeah, I just tape them to my leg.
Hey, shut her mic off.
No.
Shut her mic off.
No, I'm kidding. No. I'm a girl. I like makeup. I like jewelry.
You like
I dress
toms.
Like a girl, but I like boy stuff.
Okay, it's okay.
Like, I like fishing.
Yeah,
I'm
sure you like boy stuff.
Kickball. I like, you know.
You just don't like this boy stuff.
No, you don't like me. You're too cool. All
right, whatever. This is not the time or the place.
Yeah.
All right,
so anyway, while Kane's getting dressed, he looks down and notices blood's on his shoe. So he grabs the tissue and he wipes off the blood off the top of his sneaker. Then he goes downstairs. His mom asks him about the bloody shirt.
Wait. We have to explain where the bloody shoe came from. The bloody shoe came from the previous episode.
Bloody shirt?
The bloody shoe and shirt.
Oh, bloody
where,
shoe.
The shoe and the shirt.
I thought you were in
that where Uncle Marvin.
I'm thinking of a beer.
You want a beer?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Tom.
Yeah, I think so. I'm cracking up on my teeth. So.
Go ahead, Tom. Go grab one.
No, I'm only kidding.
Go grab a beer. Wait, you
I
can't
might.
Drink a beer?
No, I might.
Hey, you're not cool enough to drink a beer.
I might drink one in a second. But, all right, so...
We got to explain where it came from.
Yeah, the shooting the shirt came from the shooting at the stash shop.
Yeah, the robbery at the stash shop. I'm sorry. Keep going,
yeah.
Tom Boy.
All right, so, Kanan...
That's your new nickname, Tom Boy.
Kanan comes home, and he throws the bloody shirt under his bed. I don't know why Marvin didn't tell him to get rid of it. Like, Marvin should have known better. Marvin should have let him leave the stash house with a bloody shirt.
Or a bloody shoe.
I don't even think he realized there was blood on his shoe till just now, which was days later.
They were white sneakers. Of course you're going to have blood on your shoes.
Well, Kanan was, you know, the guy got shot right in front of him. He was in shock.
He got his wig blown off.
He was in shock a little bit. Like, you would be too if someone...
Got their head blown off?
Right in front of you. Literally, their brains are splattered all over you.
If they had their brains in my hair? In my hair?
And your shoes? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Keep going.
All right, so mom finds it, then she's asking him about the bloody shirt, and then she's asking him why he was at the stash house, and he lied and said he went to pick up money from Scrappy. And then Raquel tells him he's done, stay away from the stash house, like you're not allowed there anymore, like you're done, the stash house business is done. Then Malcolm in the White Top, I'm not sure her name, but she really doesn't fit in here in the show so far. Maybe she will later on, but Malcolm and the White Cop that doesn't fit in the ghetto.
Let's give her a name.
Should we call her Karen?
Yeah.
Should we call her Becky?
Let's see. I say Karen's a good one. I say Karen and let's say Karen. I say Karen. Let's make her Karen.
People should be
Officer Karen.
People should be ashamed if they name their kids Karen and Becky in the future from now on.
Oh, your middle name is Becky.
No, it's Dawn.
Officer Becky. Officer Becky or Officer Becky or Officer Karen. Which
either
one sounds better?
Either one.
Which she can be both.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. So Malcolm and White Becky go to the bandit. Go to
Officer Becky.
Officer White Becky.
Officer White Karen.
Officer White Karen. All right, so they go to the abandoned stash house. Now, the neighbors call the cops about an accident out front. So they're there to investigate the accident out front. Not the shooting, not the bullets that were going crazy.
The car accident, not the shooting.
When Marvin smashed up his car.
Yeah, just totaled his freaking Lexus.
For nothing. He didn't get anything back anyway.
He didn't even hit one of them, idiots, but... They came for an accident, not a shooting, though. Okay.
Yeah, so they're walking through the house. They see the throw up on the floor. Then they're like, well, maybe it's a...
Not the brains that were splattered all over
the
place.
No, because they cleaned it up.
Oh, okay.
They cleaned up the brains.
They cleaned up everything but the vomit.
But the vomit. Why? Because they wanted the cops to think it was a crack house, not a stash house.
Well, you know, people
which
throw
is exactly what they
car
think.
Car accidents. Well, whatever. That's how it works.
You know, but, you know, there's homeless people that do use abandoned buildings as crack houses.
Yeah.
So, that's they're like, yo, just leave the throw up. The cops will pay no mind. They'll just think it's a crack house. Somebody was in here getting high, and they threw up and moved on. That's exactly what the cops thought.
Okay.
So then,
keep going.
Then it cuts to Raquel at her kitchen table again. There's a lot of scenes at Raquel's kitchen table.
Uh-huh.
It's a big staple in the show. So she's questioning Marvin about the stash house. Raquel tells him that she knows Kanan was there. But Kanan covered for Marvin.
Yeah. You know what? They kind of covered for each other.
Yeah, like she didn't rat him
neither,
out.
Neither one of them snitched on each other.
Yeah, they didn't say their name.
Yeah.
He said he was getting money from Scrappy, and Marvin just never mentioned that Kanan was there. So then, after she's done talking to Marvin, Raquel looks over at Lou and says that she wants to know everything that Unique's doing before he does it. Then Kanan's talking to Symphony after class. He's starting to like Symphony now.
Okay, so hold on. Since we're on Symphony, and I'm about to have to tell
you
Murphy.
You know,
Symphony's an all-purpose guy. He's a bartender.
Mm-hmm.
He's a student. A student.
And a teacher.
And a late night professor that teaches a Saturday class.
Not to mention.
And besides all those occupations, he has time to lay pipe.
Yeah.
Kanan's mom.
In between jobs.
Yeah. I mean, he would be really tired.
Yeah. In the first episode, he was going to school. Now he must have graduated and he's teaching now.
Teaching.
But, you know, in one of the...
But plus he's a bartender.
Yeah. If he still works at that bar, we haven't seen him there in a minute.
The bar club. So, okay.
Now, I kind of heard...
Is Symphony Jamaican? With all them jobs?
Maybe. Why you gotta be Jamaican?
But that used to be an old joke back in the 90s, you know. You ever in Living Color? They're like, you know, I got, you know, how many jobs do you got, man? A lot of mercy.
Oh, no, I didn't know those Jamaicans had a lot
of
jobs.
Yeah, they're saying Jamaicans had a bunch of jobs. Right near the beach. Boy! Oh, I'm sorry. Keep going.
We were listening to somebody's show yesterday on YouTube about Power. And this first time, it kind of never even thought of it. But somebody said, "What if Symphony's a cop? But he just so happens to show up at the right times and everything."
Why
and I'm like, you know what?
That?
I could see that. I could see him being a fed.
So a cop. So he's a bartender, teacher, cop.
Well, they're just fake.
Slash realtor, slash professor. Come on.
They're
man.
Fake professors, though. You know what I mean? They're just out. That's
so these are just, you know, aliens?
Well, you know, no, because he really was teaching the class.
He was really teaching the class.
Yeah.
And he really was bartending.
You don't think he's a cop?
Hell no. How? No way.
I can see
so
that.
So he's a cop, bartender,
He has that cop look, you know?
So he's every job.
You know, you can tell a cop when you see one. He has that look.
I didn't like his look.
Like.
I didn't like his look.
I smelled a little bacon.
You would know what that smelled
that's,
like,
that's,
wouldn't you?
That's the sense I got when I look at him.
You would know a cop when you saw one, wouldn't you?
No. Yeah, I would. I've had my experience with them.
Mm-hmm. Because you used to be one.
Yeah, okay. I wish.
We won't get into that right now.
All right, Marvin and Lou walk outside of Kel's house after they're done sitting at the kitchen table. And Lou tells Marvin that he's a fuck-up. Everything he does, he's always been a fuck-up, except for now, he's creating problems for everybody else. Now he's bringing everybody else down.
I didn't like that. That was not Marvin's fault. That was the stash up and rob.
It was Kanan's fault.
It was Kanan's fault.
And he did the best he could. He saved Kanan's life. Actually.
Saved Kanan's life, and he saved the rest of the stuff.
Kanan shouldn't have been there.
Kanan shouldn't have been there, but it was Kanan's fault that they were there.
Yes, but Marvin should know better, and he shouldn't have went and got Kanan.
Even if he didn't go get Kanan, whoever else he got would have got Jack.
We tried to get Scrappy, but Scrappy was too busy.
But they would have never even knew if it wasn't for where the house was. If it wasn't for
right, we didn't
we'll get
that
there
part
yet. Yeah. If it wasn't for Kanan,
you're jumping ahead.
I'm sorry. Keep going.
Yeah. So it's Kanan's fault that they were down in the first place. But I feel like Marvin does not like the fact that his little sister is giving him orders. Correct.
The fact that his little sister's giving him orders?
Yeah, Lou is loyal to Raquel. Lou is his ride-or-die soldier. Marvin, he's a wild egg there. You don't think so?
No. He never misses an opportunity to miss an opportunity. You okay?
Yeah, he never misses an opportunity to fuck up.
Yeah, but he still is, but he's loyal.
What?
But he's loyal.
Is he, though?
He is.
You think so?
Yes.
I think he's going to leave.
You don't think he's working?
I think he's going to leave. I think he's going to leave Raquel.
No, like, he's loyal.
I would say. I don't think
just like Dee Wiz was loyal.
I think Raquel said to him, like, you don't like the fact that you're getting taking orders from me. And I don't think he does.
Not
everybody can take orders from women, let alone their younger sister. So that's just my
She's always trying to put him down, though. She's always trying to put him down and be like I'm better than you.
Well, Lou is her favorite brother.
Lou's favorite brother or not, but you got to learn how to, just like in John Lane Cabaret, man, you got to know how to treat people.
They must have had an incident back in the day, though.
I think Marvin used to run shit, and then he got caught.
Yeah, she's like, remember, you couldn't do it. That's why I'm here now.
Yeah.
But I feel like he kind of reminds me of Kanan. He just acts without thinking sometimes.
I mean, some people, we all get like that, don't you?
Not when you're in situations like that where you got guns and drugs and people's lives at stake.
Oh, no? You never overreacted?
I'm not saying overreacted. I said he acts before he thinks.
Just
like Kanan.
But everybody does.
Not everybody does.
I think people are shitting on Marvin. And where's that white chick name he was smashing with the big old titties?
What,
the
dog?
Yeah.
We'll call her Becky.
Okay, well, Becky.
So the cop is Karen,
she's definitely
Becky.
Smashable.
Yeah, she was in Beverly Hills 90210, the reboot, remake.
Oh, yeah? Well, that's cool. All right, let's keep it going.
The one who runs the club.
Yeah, I was definitely.
That they're selling dope out of.
Got some big old titties, man. All
right, so.
I don't even like tits, but.
Marvin and Lou, they're outside. Lou's telling Marvin what a fuck up he is. How it was fine before that he was a fuck up because it only affected him. But now he's starting to.
His fuck up is bringing everybody else down.
So then Marvin tells Lou that his girlfriend is sleeping with the. Studio dude, what's his name?
We just said it.
I got it here somewhere. So anyway, he tells him that he's sleeping with the studio dude.
And
then Lou's like, well, your baby mama ended up sleeping with a Nick and got turned up to the whole team or something like that.
He said, your girl is sleeping with Patrick Ewing, Anthony Mason, Charles Oakley, and all those Knicks back in the 90s.
He didn't name all of them.
No, he didn't. He said
the Knicks started lineup.
He just basically said that the Knicks ran a train on Jukebox Mom. That's basically what he said. That's what I took from it.
He said she slept with one Nick and got turned out.
That's what I took from it, that Jukebox Mom was turned out by, she's getting from the players off the New York Knicks. So, whatever.
All right. So then they start scrapping.
What's the dude from the studio?
Uh-huh.
The one that famous his sister.
Something. I don't know.
All right,
in one of these papers. We'll find it.
We'll call him Chief.
We'll call him Jorge. Julio. Crown. His name is Crown.
Crown.
All right. So. They're scrapping up front.
Like in the 90s, though.
They're scrapping up front. You know, they're throwing. You know how it is. I'm sure everybody who's got siblings at one point in time has tussled with your brother or sister.
Yeah.
I know. I've tussled with my brothers many times.
Well, you're a tomboy.
Yeah.
So of course you did.
And I didn't take no shit from my brothers.
You tussle with your brothers. Never mind.
So then the cop drives by, hits the siren. This is a family show. We're getting all fancy out here. Let's keep our minds focused on the task at hand. Okay?
I'm sorry. Shut my mic off.
Yeah, you need to. So a cop drives by and hits the siren and yells, "Hey, go make us get out of this car." And then they stop fighting. They're like, "Have a nice day." So I didn't get the whole Malcolm and his diagnosis. The first four episodes, like, this doesn't fit. Why do we care about this cop's dying? Who cares?
I know.
He's nobody. Like, why are we even showing that?
Seriously, he's like the weakest part of the show, honestly.
So I get why, and we'll get into that later. But the next scene is Malcolm's doctors tell him that his cousins are not a good donor match. Both of his cousins aren't a match. So since he doesn't have any other relatives, she put his name on a donor list. The doctor says that if they can't find a match,
get his affairs in order.
Basically, she'll have to discuss palliative care, which is nursing home. That's at a point where you can't take care of yourself.
Uh-huh. Hospice, right?
Yeah. Hospice is when you're still at home and they come, a nurse comes. Palliative care is when you're in the hospital and...
Okay.
It's like a nursing home when you're living in a nursing home. So I forget what kind of cancer they said he had. But
he keeps talking about bone marrow. I don't know. I thought he needed a liver. I don't know what he needs. What's he need, bone marrow or
liver?
I'm
not sure. I have to go back and look at but this was a bone marrow. That's what she was looking for.
Yeah.
But whatever kind of cancer he has, it must be pretty serious because this is like, she's basically saying that.
It's aggressive and it's time to fucking.
It's time sensitive. Like, she tells him to quit smoking, quit drinking, start eating better. Of course, he walked out of the doctor's office and laid the cigarette right up. I probably would have did the same too.
Okay.
Like, I know, my grandma died from lung cancer. And then the whole time she's like, I wish you guys would stop smoking. Look at me. And we're like, Mama, you never smoked and you got cancer. So we're going to continue smoking and knock on wood. Hopefully we won't. All right, so then it goes to Famous Jukebox and Kanan are hanging out in his store. And Famous is looking at Titty Mag like, yeah, when I get famous, this she'll be a 4.
A 3.
She's
going to be the lowest he'll ever go.
Yes.
A Playboy centerfold.
Yes. And then the guy behind the counter is like, you look, you buy. You look, you buy.
Good.
Screaming at him like, you look at Titty, you buy.
Hold up. Since you're a tomboy, I know, I don't want to, you know. So when you were a tomboy, or since you are a tomboy,
right.
Did you look at titty magazines when you were
No. I don't like girls.
Oh, you don't like girls?
I'm a girl that just likes boy activity. I don't know.
Boy stuff, then.
Yeah, I get along better with
boys. Boy stuff is, you know, looking at nudie magazines.
No.
No?
She said boy activities.
That's boy activities, no. Tomboy.
That's boy sexual activities.
No, that's not roughhousing. That's not nothing sexual
well,
about
the
it.
The definition, that's not roughhousing. A girl who enjoys rough activity. Looking at titty magazines is not a rough activity.
Well, it could be.
True. No. I don't like girls. Never. Actually, I can't stand bitches. I don't like girls. It always was. Like, majority of my friends are guys. I don't like that girl smile on your face, and your best friend will be the first one to stab you in the back.
Yeah, so will guys.
I feel like guys are more loyal than girls.
I agree.
But. Girls are like, you cannot trust bitches. Like, you can't. They're so fucking shifty. And
I agree.
Hormonal. Like.
Yeah.
I'm not saying I'm not.
Yeah.
I am a female.
Yeah.
But I try to not.
Listen, as much as you try to like to do men things, Tom.
No, I like doing men things. Like, I like camping, fishing, and basketball. Like, I don't care. Like.
I hear you, tomboy. But listen. That still doesn't mean that you're not going to be a fucking asshole for being...
Of course, I'm still a woman. Like, I still have hormones. I'm still female.
Said, females are too hormonal and sick in the head.
I'm still a bitch, like, when I want to be it, when I can still be a bitch.
Continue, Tom.
Yeah.
Boy.
Fuck you.
Listen at you being hormonal.
Yeah, you get hormonal yourself.
No, I
trash
don't.
Bucket.
No, I don't.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go, tomboy.
Yeah, I'm not like your typical girl. I want to smile on your face and
stab you in the back. That's all
I
you
might.
Do.
I might smile on your face and talk about you behind your back, but I'll tell you what I said though. I don't care.
You'll look me in my face and stab me in my back.
No, that's you. You're stabbing in the back. What? Whereas normal girls are like, I'm not going camping. I'm not laying on the ground. I'm not getting dirty. I'm like, I don't care. Shit. Let's go. Put a poem blanket down. You want to go canoeing? Let's go canoeing. I can't swim, but I'm down for whatever. I will never turn down an activity.
And that's exactly that's exactly our problem. You never turn down activities with other people.
Yeah. We don't do activities.
Yeah, we don't.
Like, literally.
But you do activities with other people.
Nothing.
You don't turn them down.
Yeah, okay.
Either. You just said it. I heard you.
I don't go anywhere.
You just confessed to it.
Like, we don't do any activities. Not since we moved in together. Our activities went down the drain.
Yeah, there is no activity here.
Like, literally. We don't have activities in the house. We don't have activities outside of the house.
Yeah, but
nothing.
You don't. But the problem our is you don't, you don't turn down activities with other people.
Our idea of a good time is going to shop or to Walmart.
That's like going to the club these days.
Like an old married couple. Like that's it.
Because
that's what we do on a Friday night. Is good.
You don't want to do anything.
Oh, you're such a liar. You don't want to do anything.
But you always come in the house smelling like Hennessy.
Yeah. Okay. That's you. Who knows that you're the one who's always lighting it up around town.
You always come in the house smelling like Hennessy with cookies on your neck. But anyway, we got off topic.
Like, do I need to shut your mic off? Because you're just really off topic today. You're dragging the show on.
Come on, let's go. Shut up, Mike.
All right, so Famous is looking at titty magazines, and Jukebox tells Kanan and Famous she knows how to make a girl feel good. She's been with somebody, and Famous gets mad and says, I've been trying to hit that since fifth grade, and you give it up to some random beep.
That was funny.
Yeah, he's mad. He's really mad.
That was funny. He definitely wants to smash Jukebox.
I don't think he knows that Jukebox likes women.
Yeah, which comes into play later on.
Yeah, like, you give it up to a random beep. And then Jukebox starts talking to Kanan. Like, she tells Kanan that she thinks Davina read it. Like, Davina knows Unique. She saw you at the house.
Uh-huh.
And her boyfriend was U-Turn, what is his name? Fuck,
U-Turn. U-Turn. No, Buck 20?
No, I don't know why I keep calling Buck 50.
Wasn't it Buck 20?
Buck 20, Buck 50, one of them.
Yeah.
The guy who died.
One that Kanan and D-Wiz
one of them
smoked.
Killed him.
They both killed him together.
And then Kanan got mad at her. And walked out of the store. And Jukebox chases after
him. No, he didn't just walk out the store. They got in an argument, and he basically threatened to tell that she was gay.
Well, yeah, they walked out first, and then she chased him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Bad.
And then he started making excuses for Davina and blamed it on Scrappy. And said he's going to handle Scrappy.
And she said, Scrappy's family, homie.
He's loyal. I know more about this family business than you do, and Scrappy wouldn't do that.
And there's stuff that you don't know about our family that you don't know. Which I thought that she was about to tell him about D-Wiz.
Maybe.
And then he also threw in about her being liking girls.
Yes.
Yeah. Because the rest of the family doesn't know. And then she's like, you think I'm afraid of you, MF?
Well, he said, Juke, you better watch your mouth.
Yeah.
And Juke said, I'm not scared of you.
Yeah.
MF-er. But... Juke tells him that Scrappy's loyal, and Kanan's like, yeah, but he called out sick that day, and then he came in with a new pair of sneakers the next day or something like that.
Uh-huh.
But we see later on, he's making that money playing dice.
Yeah.
All right, so then Raquel is at an apartment building. She's looking for a new apartment. She wants two apartments, one on top of each other. She's trying to get off the streets, and she's trying to move it indoors. So she goes to the super finds her an apartment, but the problem is there's somebody that already lived there. So she has Marvin beat up the guy that's already living there. There we go. Famous runs down the street chasing after Jukebox and tells Jukebox to come to the studio with him. And Juke goes, Jukebox goes to the studio. He's like, don't worry about it. You and Kanan will get over it. He'll get over it. Like, you've been trying to get into the studio. I'm going right now. Maybe we can get your vocals on this track. Like, just come with me. So she goes with him. Then Raquel goes in Kanan's room and tells him she always wanted to know any more about the Stash House shooting. And Kanan tells her that he wants to learn to cook. And Raquel tells him she's got to think about it. And Kanan said, think about it, but I'm done getting played. She's like, make up your mind. One day I'm in, one day I'm out. One day I'm in, one day I'm out. Like, either you're going to teach me, either you're going to teach me or somebody else is. That's kind of like the option she gave him. Then Raquel drops Kanan off at Girardi's Pizza, and Malcolm's sitting down the street watching. He was planning on following Raquel around for the day, but for some reason he decided to stick with Kanan instead. So Kanan goes to talk to Scrappy. Next page.
Scrappy.
All right. Kanan goes to talk to Scrappy. Scrappy's plain dice. Yeah. What are you guys looking for, Scrappy? Scrappy and Kanan, yeah. So he goes walking up. I forget what he said, but Scrappy's like, what? Thought you got an errand for your mom to run?
Go get her some cigarettes. Go
some
buy
milk and some
paper.
Cool from the corner. Like, get you, like, kind of young boy. And I'm like, get out of here, boy. Like, and so Kanan attacks him.
Trying to fight old Scrappy.
So Malcolm and Officer Karen are sitting over in the car watching, and Officer Becky Karen is like, are you going to do anything? Malcolm's like, in a second.
Let's let these niggers hit each other.
So then Malcolm goes over, and Malcolm and Officer Becky Karen arrest Kanan and Scrappy and take them downtown. Then a guy comes out of his...
Wait. Scrappy got the best of the throwdown, right? Would you say?
Oh, yeah.
If you were saying who won.
Yeah. Scrappy got the best.
Scrappy got the best of the fight with Kanan.
Of course. Scrappy's older. I mean, what is he, like 4 years older than him?
I don't know.
Something like that. But then a guy comes out of the store, and while Malcolm is putting...
One of Unique's.
Yeah. He has like a little smart-ass smirk on his face while he's watching... Scrappy get arrested.
Yeah.
All right. So then Raquel's at the store, playing with her stash. And the store owner tells Raquel he wants more money, because he will go to jail if the cops come. Raquel's like, yeah, that's what we're already paying you for. He's like, yeah, but it's not enough. Like, I want more money. Raquel's like, we already negotiated. And we shook hands. Once we shake hands, like, the deal's done.
If
we renegotiate,
we throw hands.
Throw them fists.
Throw them bows.
So then Malcolm gives, then we're back at the police station. Kanan's sitting at Malcolm's desk. Malcolm gives Kanan a napkin and tells him to wipe his mouth because he's bleeding.
Clean yourself up.
So Kanan wipes his mouth and tries to give it back to Malcolm. Malcolm's like, I don't want that shit. So he just puts it down on the desk. Malcolm asks Kanan his name and date of birth. And Kanan's like, I'm not talking to you. I'm waiting for my guardian to get here. Malcolm's like, oh, your mom didn't tell us about us? Like,
your mom been telling you? I used to hit it?
Yeah, she didn't tell you we had a past. He's like, no, we don't talk about cops. She's like, oh, yeah. I used to smash that back in the day. Like, tap that, you know?
Oh my God! What cop said that?
I know.
Who said that to a kid?
Oh, your mom didn't tell you? Yeah. I used to tap that real good. Like, whose mom's gonna? Like, yo, yeah, my mom told me. She told me, yeah. You hit it, and he hit it, and he hit it. Like, who tells your son that? Nobody. All right. So then, Kanan says his date of birth is 8/15/75. Malcolm said, I thought you were older. Then Symphony shows up to pick up Kanan. And Symphony's like, oh, here we go.
You got an educated nigga.
Well, he's like, yeah, another cop harassing an innocent black man. And all that stuff.
He tried to shit on Symphony, but Symphony...
He threw it right back.
Yeah.
He was calling him the N-word and this and that.
Yeah, he's like, I'm not the N-word.
Yeah.
I'm not the
N-word. Like, oh, we got an educated brother.
Yeah. He's like, I'm not the N-word. Can't talk to me like that. Give me the boy. You fucking harassing these fucking young kids these days?
All right, so.
How dare you? So, what happened?
All right, so after Kanan leaves, Malcolm pulls up Kanan's alleged dad's info and finds out he went to jail in 74. And he looks at the napkin with Kanan's blood on it.
Decides he wants to test it.
Yeah, but then he's like, hold up. He went to jail. You know, he's thinking, Officer Kanan. No, we know he's looking at the blood. He's going to test it for DNA.
Like, yeah, I used to fucking hit this back in the day.
So then he goes back to the studio. Famous is in the booth. And Jiggy rapping on the mic.
Yeah.
And Crown is talking to Milo. Like, where's this girl at? Milo's like, there's no one coming. Like, why not? Because you ain't paid them.
Because they ain't paid nobody.
Miles, like, speaking of which, you ain't paid me in 3 weeks either.
Crown running bad business here.
Yeah. Not paying his employees. So Lou steps up and asks Milo how much he needs to keep the lights on and keep him and his girlfriend quiet.
Uh-huh.
Milo says, a couple $1,000s. He gives Milo money, and then Lou tells Crown the jukebox is going to sing on the track. Lou tells Lou, it's okay, don't worry about it, don't worry about it. Like, it's okay, Uncle Lou, you don't got to, I don't have to go on there. Lou's like, no, I just paid for your studio time. So then Symphony and Kanan, they're driving in the car after they leave the police station, and Kanan goes to Symphony. Kanan asked Symphony not to tell his mom. Symphony said, is that why you called me? So your mom won't find out. And Symphony tells Kanan he doesn't want to get in the middle of them. And he ends up telling Kanan that he won't tell her Kel. But if she asks him, he's not going to lie.
He's not going to tell Finn.
Scrappy's walking down the street. And all of a sudden, like, Kel pulls over, like, tells Scrappy to get in the car. Scrappy's like, it was Kanan. He did it. Like, he came after me. Did Raquel there because of the fight with Kanan?
Yeah, he was scared because he thought that
Raquel
she was mad because he beat up her son.
Yeah. Didn't hear the music, jukebox songs playing. Her girlfriend Nicole was like, I don't know who this white boy is rapping, but your part is really good. They're listening to her song.
Is this the part where the jukebox gets caught bumping fuzzies?
Well, they weren't bumping fuzzies, but...
You know what they were doing?
Yeah.
Tomboy.
So they're laying on the bed making
Wait,
out.
Wait, you've done that with a girl before, right?
Yeah, okay. Nope.
No?
I don't like bitches.
You've never bumped fuzzies or made out with a girl?
No bush. No bush here.
Clam?
No clam.
Muscle?
I don't like clams.
Muscle?
Can't get into clams. I like sausage better.
What is it?
No clams. No oysters.
Oysters.
No.
Oysters.
Nope.
Octopus?
Nope. No.
Chicken?
Pussy
willow?
No.
Only cockadoodle do?
No.
Tomboy?
I can't stand females like that, so not enough that I want to fucking eat their snatch.
Oh, wow. So, okay. What else? What's the word for that?
What?
For?
Snatch?
Yeah.
Bush?
Another word. What was your fox? What was... Jubal was eating cat. Chinese food. Oh, shit. Shut my mic off. Sorry.
Beep. Oh, he's trying to get his heat.
I know.
Anyway.
Sorry.
So, Nicole and Jubal are making out on a bed. Nicole's parents walk in.
Oh, that was so fucking heartfelt. What did you feel about that?
Yeah, it was. Nicole's mom kicks out Jubal and tells her she's disgusting. And Ju can't see her daughter ever again. And if she does, she's going to call the cops on Jukebox and...
Tell her that she raped her.
And have her arrested for rape. Poor Jukebox walks out of the house. Crying. Down her face. She looks up at the window and her girlfriend's standing in the window.
Wait, her girlfriend's Nicole, right?
Yeah.
No, she said, if you ever come back here, I will
have
call
you arrested
the police
for
and
rape.
Have you arrested for rape.
That's a white thing, though, because my mom said that.
Did she? What, did she walk in on you?
No. Guy? She didn't walk in on me, no.
Wait, she walked in on you kissing your brother?
No, hold on. That's, maybe that's how you do in your neck of the woods.
Okay. All kidding aside. So, your mom said the same thing?
My dad, I would say, more or less.
That,
not that he would. He should call the cops and have him arrested for rape. That's
wow.
A white thing.
Wow.
All right, so then it goes to Raquel, Kanan are in the kitchen. Raquel's about to teach them how to cook up some crack. Raquel's talking like she's going to die. So she's only showing him this so he can take care of himself if something happens to her. And Kanan's like, what do you mean? Nothing going to happen to you. You
so
promise.
She's basically giving him an inheritance of teaching him how to sell crack. Because
he's going to take over the family business.
Just in case there's something happens to her. She's like, this is how you do crack.
I feel like that was the show's way of telling us something's going to happen to her.
To her, yeah. Yeah, true.
Because, and then Kenny's like, wait, you promised you're never going to go anywhere. And she's like, you know, in this life.
Can't promise nothing.
Yeah, tomorrow's not promised. And then she's like, she tells him to never, ever, ever cook where you sleep. They're doing this once. They're making a small bag and then going to the lab. Like, she's like, that one, rule number one, you don't ever cook where you sleep.
That's the Ten Track Commandments.
So then,
never ever sell the crack where you rest at. I don't care if they want an ounce, tell them bounce. Biggie, the greatest of all times, said these words.
Oh, did he?
Yes. Keep going.
All right, so Scrap, then it goes, Scrap goes to Unique. Now we know, we didn't know what Monet, or not Monet,
ooh.
Raquel was talking to him about earlier. He just hopped in the car, but we didn't really hear him talking. And so all of a sudden, see Scrap at Unique. Now we're like, oh, I get it. She's sending Scrap to be her eyes and ears, see what Unique's up to. To be her inside man and tell her what's going on with Unique. So he goes up and tells him he wants to work for him instead of Raquel. Unique's like, why? What's going on? I thought you were like the next man in line kind of thing. And Scrap's like, no, she brought her son in. Like, he kind of...
He jumped, what, 5 years ahead of me?
Yeah, he's trying to take... Like, he's next in line. Like, I did all this for nothing. Everything's going to him, kind of.
But his man also saw... what's his name? Unique's?
What do you mean?
Unique's... one of Unique's guys saw him getting in a fight with Kanan and plus arrested.
Yeah, but that part wasn't even brought up. But I didn't even think about that.
I'm just saying.
Did they know they really were fighting?
Yeah, so he knows that.
One of his guys.
He's like, I heard he was beating your ass.
Yeah. Did I guess that was a good cover story?
Yeah. But remember, Raquel meets up with, what's his name?
Scrappy.
And tells him something. So we don't know. So we think that he's undercover right now.
That's what we're thinking. Because then that's the next time you see him is
for Raquel.
I know. We know at the beginning of the episode she said that she wanted an inside man to know everything that he's done. So we're guessing they used the Kanan fight as the perfect opportunity to get one of her guys inside of Unique's operation. Now, Unique.
Oh wait. Hold on. Before we go that. Before I'm sorry to cut you off again. But remember, she got the two apartments.
Yeah. Right.
So she's willing to. She don't want the corners anymore. She's basically planning on taking over an apartment complex.
Not a complex, just an apartment. Yeah.
Apartment building.
Just selling indoor.
Yeah. So she doesn't want to use the corners, the blocks anymore.
Yeah, she don't want to be
She don't want to be outside. So she wants to sit there and...
She got that from Symphony, like when they were...
talking about buildings and shit.
Yeah, what was it? After one of the dates at a hotel or something like that, or that was his place. And he's like, I like being high up. You can see everything that's coming.
That's exactly... No, I didn't even peep that.
You did?
That's a good one.
See? That's where she got it from.
Yeah, that's exactly
Marvin
where she got it. I didn't peep that she got... That's where she got it from. Did you hear somebody say that? You did.
Yeah, what Symphony told. No. I just watched all these the other day.
Mm-hmm.
But that's exactly what she told Marvin.
But you're right.
You can see everything that's coming from up
coming
there.
Coming up, yeah. He can be on the floor. He can be on the. He can have those blocks. We'll see everything coming
before
it
gets here.
Yeah, and then we'll actually, you know.
So for those who didn't peep what she was doing, because I didn't know what she wanted the two apartments for, you
know,
come here and tell me.
Go ahead.
So the top apartment is the stash house, right?
Uh-huh.
That's where they're going to sell out of. That's where they're going to make all their sales out of, the top apartment. Now, God forbid, the cops come. They're going to make a shoot from the top apartment to the bottom apartment.
Mm-hmm.
If the cops come or anything, they just drop the stash down the chute.
And there's nothing
in
there.
The house is clean.
Yep.
Smart. Never thought of that. Good idea. Like, I didn't know.
I told you before they even did it. That's what she wanted to do.
I didn't know. I'm like, why she want two apartments on top of each other? That don't make sense. Like, what? But
it makes all
the
sense in the world.
I get it. I've seen people throw from upstairs down the drain, but I've never seen. That's good. That's smart.
If you don't want to lose anything,
mm-hmm.
just drop them. Like, don't sell nothing out of the
apartment
at the bottom.
Yeah. Keep
and
that one clean.
Charge and just keep one clean. Make one dirty if you have to. And if anything comes, don't flush down the toilet. Just drop it down to the next apartment underneath it.
And you know what? I guess that's how the crack heroin coke era started to move indoors from the corners. Today you still got your corner boys, but you got your apartments too, where you can go and know your crack house is where you know you can go get it.
Okay.
All right.
Keep going. What's his name? Decides to pay.
Kanan and Raquel. Back to Kanan and Raquel in the kitchen cooking up crack. Then, just go to the studio. Lou fucks famous sister, Stephanie, in the studio on Crown's desk.
Yeah.
You see Bulletproof Records behind them.
I make money
right
moves.
There.
That was a money move. That was just like a, I make money moves.
While he's sitting there hitting it, like, you see his face, and he's thinking. He's thinking about what his brother said. Now he's thinking about what his brother said, whether or not Crown already tapped that on his desk.
Yeah.
You can see it. He's like, he's not into it. He's thinking, like, is this dirty who already deal right here?
But also, he's trying to show off as well.
He did.
Because he kind of, like, big boyed.
That's the only reason why he stepped up and offered money. Like,
He paid his.
You're flirting with this broke motherfucker?
Yeah,
like, here.
Junkie. Like, he's a cokehead. He paid his staff. He paid Milo.
He paid Milo.
No, and the people in the hallway.
Did
remember?
He? No,
because He threw him some more money.
I didn't see that. I know Crown's like, they need to be paid out there, too.
Yeah, and he threw him more money. And then got Jukebox on the song.
Yes.
On the track, so.
All right, so then goes back to the kitchen scene again after they're done in the studio.
After he tapped it all over the studio.
Tearing all the sheets up, like, don't you ever flirt with that bum again. Like, this is my studio now, bitch.
And my cheeks.
Yeah.
These are my cheeks.
How dare you look at that broke motherfucker.
Yeah.
Now, remember, in the beginning, when she first started getting with him, she asked him why he didn't have his own studio. She's like, you can do everything Crown does. Why don't you have that?
And she's like, I don't have time to wait for you.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess that the Spanish cat will make you do some crazy things.
Maybe.
Like.
Maybe. I wouldn't know. I never had no Spanish kitty cat.
You wouldn't try Spanish cat?
Maybe. You know, maybe. It would have to be the right type of cat.
The right type of Spanish cat?
Yeah. The right. Spanish cat. Like, I like pretty. Pretty, but not a flat butt.
Have
some buns? Yeah. A nice round butt. Not too big, not too little, but not flat. Can't look like you've been sitting on the couch for years and, like, you get up and there's still an indent in your buns. Like, no.
Like big mama.
Yeah, like big mama. Yes.
We're going to talk about that later.
Yeah. Like, if I'm going to eat kitty cats, it's got to be pretty. Real pretty. I don't like those. I'm not even getting to it.
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah. All right, so they go back to the kitchen scene again. And Raquel's shown Kanan how to cut up the crack with a razor blade. They already cooked it up. Now she's showing them how to slice it. Unique and Scrap shake hands. I guess they made a deal. Scrap's going to start working with Unique. Then it goes, Raquel goes outside. She's taking the trash out. Malcolm comes walking up on her.
We all saw this coming.
You lied, bitch. Why are you telling me that's my son? And she's like, what are you talking about? And then he's like, don't lie, bitch. DEFCON went away in 74. But I looked it up and there was no conjugals where he's at. So Kane is my son. And then she didn't admit it or deny it.
No, she just said, stay away from me, man.
Like, and then he's like, why didn't you just tell me the truth? I saw you years ago pushing the baby in a stroller. You lied to me and said that he was older than he was. Like, why didn't you just tell me that he was mine?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's like, you ain't got no claim to him. He's my son.
My son.
Yeah, and Malcolm's like, yeah, we'll see, bitch. Walks away.
So now Malcolm actually is like, let me ask you this. Is Malcolm saying this because he wants to raise Kanan and give him a better life? Or is Malcolm saying this because he wants to live with his organs?
No.
Is this a compassionate father grab, or is this an organ grab?
I think it's like, damn, that's my son. Like,
and you played me out.
Something new. I knew something. He said it. He's like, I kind of felt something all along, but I missed this whole relationship with my son. And look what you did to him, you little jerk.
Look what you did, you little jerk.
Look what you did, you little jerk. You turned me out already.
So you think that this is not about him saving his own life?
This is where the whole diagnosis starts to make sense.
A relationship?
Oh, okay.
I get the whole diagnosis, but I'm saying, is this why, does Malcolm want a relationship with Kanan? We're confronting her about him being his son. Is that only because that he wants his organ?
No.
Or does he wants to actually have a father-son relationship with Kanan?
No, I think he wants a father-son relationship with him. I don't think he cares about the fact that he has cancer, truthfully. The doctor told him, like, you have no other relatives. That's where I'm like, now that we know Kanan's his son, I'm like, okay, this whole diagnosis thing, now I see how it fits in. Kanan's going to be a savior. Kanan's going to be a match, but I don't think he tests Kanan's blood to see if he's a match. I think he tests Kanan's blood to see DNA.
He's his son, yeah.
DNA. But then it ends up coming back that he's a match.
But you did, you little jerk.
But I don't think Malcolm even cares. I don't think Malcolm cares whether he lives or dies. He's kind of like, whatever. He's not trying to do anything. He's still smoking. He's still doing everything. It's almost like... You don't care.
Still tapping ass.
Yeah.
Drinking Hennessy.
You know, it, like,
smoking cools.
Yeah, like it is what it is. I guess I'm going to die. I don't think, you think he's going to use Kanan?
I don't know what Malcolm's agenda is.
No, we know later on in
does
power.
Does he want to be a father or does he want Kanan's
we'll
organ?
Find out.
Does he want Kanan's organ?
No, we know later on in power that Kanan's mom and dad are gone. So... Raquel's not in power later on, but neither is Malcolm. So something happens, neither one of them are around later on.
Yeah, I can't wait to see.
But,
and then you got Tiffany still.
And
yeah,
I don't even know that.
Tiffany still being a positive role model.
I don't even know that Malcolm wants a relationship with Kanan at this point. But I think he's kind of like, damn, like, bitch, that's my son. Like, how would you feel if you found out some girls, you had a son out there this whole time? He's like, damn, I always wanted a son, and now he's grown, and look what you did.
You let me,
look what you did, you little jerk.
And
he's a fucking dealer now.
And you exited me out of his life because you were just being a cornball.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that what it's like?
That's what Rock was doing.
Or is it because he was a cop?
It's because he was a cop, but she still didn't want Kanan to be a part of his life for a reason, so we'll find out, though.
Yeah, because then at that point, who's it said in the first episode, her old first boyfriend, High Point or something.
Yeah.
That Kanan liked, he was like the only father figure he ever had, and Kanan liked him.
Mm-hmm.
But you think if Kanan had a father figure in his life, that things would have been different? Think he would have went a different route?
I think Raquel would have went a different route if.
You don't think she would have been out there?
She
would have
went a different route if she was with a cop.
You think she's just...
Your life is completely different than when you were with a cop.
Well, you think she's just on drugs to survive.
No, she's the boss. This is more than...
She is, but remember...
This is creating generational wealth at this point.
But
she's
remember, back
with
Malcolm... I don't know if... Malcolm's the cop. Marvin's the brother.
Yeah, okay.
Back in the days that she was messing with Malcolm...
Mm-hmm.
I don't think she was stoned, because remember, she said the boyfriend that died, that Kanan liked, is the one that got her in this.
Got her
in this business.
Okay.
So I think that happened after Malcolm.
Remember, they said Malcolm went to prison. That's why he lost his spot at the top of the seat. They said it last season.
Marvin
lost his seat at the top of the chair because he used to run the family.
High Point or whatever.
After he got himself in trouble. Or something happened.
Then it went to High Point, and then once he died, Raquel took over.
I think so. So we'll see.
So that's what I'm saying. You think Raquel got into this as a way to support herself and her son?
Yeah.
Or she was already in too deep. She just got turned out by her boyfriend who was already doing it.
She was already in too deep.
And then she just liked the fast money and, you know.
In too deep, but that fast cheddar.
Some people.
Now, you know the difference between living with a cop and a criminal.
I do.
Now, I'm not saying I'm a cop, and I'm definitely not a criminal.
Hey,
I'm a positive role model in the community.
Was I a different person when I lived with my children's father while he was a cop? Absolutely. I didn't speed. I only occasionally drove drunk.
And you were all about this Blue Lives Matter.
At first.
Blue Lives Matter.
And then
these freaking niggers are out of control.
But you know, it is like you can only pretend to be somebody for so long. Then
yeah.
The real me comes out. You
just
know?
Like you're
you start
pretending with me.
Drinking and driving.
Boy.
You start filling stuff under people's names. Like,
just stop it.
Then the
real. Shut her mic off.
Then the trouble starts coming out.
Yeah.
But no, in the beginning, yes, you got to be this prim and proper. You don't want his cop buddy friends to think that you're a hood rat trash bag. Who's,
yeah,
I know that bitch. I just arrested her last week.
Yeah. You're trying to, you're playing a role.
Yeah.
Just like you are now, because I can't trust you now.
Yeah, okay.
Tomboy.
No, this is just the real me.
Yeah. Who knows?
Yeah.
You've been so many fake people.
Yeah, you wouldn't know.
You've been so many fake people, even though you don't even know who the
you're
real you are.
You're such a liar.
Mm-hmm.
I know exactly who I am.
Yeah, right. But anyway,
but,
it has nothing to do with this.
But that's different. Once the whole cop life ended, my whole life changed. I stopped following the rules. I stopped following the laws. Started driving without a seatbelt.
Didn't pay your insurance?
Yeah, driving with no insurance.
Turned the nation of Islam.
I didn't have that FOP card to get me out of trouble anymore, so... Yeah.
Join the Nation of Islam?
Before, as I got pulled over for DUI, the FOP card got me out of trouble.
My whole life
so,
has changed.
Yeah. Or
but,
any ticket I ever got into, I got out of it.
But like I said, you've been so fake for so long, you don't even know who you really are.
I know exactly who I am. This was 20-some years ago.
Is this the real, is this the tomboy girl?
I've always been a tomboy.
Is this tomboy, Kevin?
Always been a tomboy. But you know what? I did play a role. I had my dresses and my heels and, you know, cooked supper.
Showroom ball cop wife, Kevin.
Yeah.
Or is this the hood rat ghetto dope boy girlfriend?
Hood rat ghetto running me, Kim?
Yeah. Or who are you? Do you even know who you are?
I know exactly who I am. See, that's when being with a cop, anytime you got in trouble, I didn't have to worry about tickets.
Well,
I got out of it. After the cop, I'm like, tickets start racking up.
What about the other
warrants
stuff?
Start racking up.
What about the kingpin that you...
What?
What about the Kevin kingpin you were dating?
Oh, that was a sad moment in my life. That's all. That was a lasting judgment. That's all it was.
The Kevin kingpin.
A lasting judgment. Yeah.
So, like
after...
After
my kid's dad, me and my kid's dad broke up, and whole custody stuff of my kids, I went off the deep end and started smoking crack in Camden, hanging out with kingpins and stuff.
Oh, God, stop it. Shut her mic off.
Yeah,
too much information.
It's true, whatever. But it only lasted for a month or two, and I came to my senses and went home.
I mean,
I could say that was the best time of my life. I was young. I was a kid. Like, I lost everything that I knew.
You weren't a kid.
And I was starting over. Like, he took everything from me.
Okay.
I was a kid. I was like...
He took everything from
I was, like, 22 years old. Yeah. I was, like, 22 years old. Every piece of my car, my phone, my house, my kids, like, literally dropped me off on my mom's doorstep. What the fuck is this?
We don't gotta get into that. But unless you want
to. So, that's out. Yeah.
About
many people have many different roles, just like you have, Jeffrey. So, let's go through your,
No, we're not talking
how
about
many
that.
Hats are you wearing?
Oh, no, none. Mm-hmm. Just one, dreads. The only hat I wear.
And I wouldn't say it's, you know, fake work. That wasn't me. I was the person, I tried to be the person he wanted me to be, and that's why they worked out.
Most white people do hardcore stuff.
Oh, I'm not ashamed of it. Like, I didn't care. I didn't care about my life. I didn't care about myself. And then I realized crack was nasty. I'm like,
so
what the fuck am I doing?
So you stole your heart, your life, your house, your kids.
Yep.
And
I was like, fuck it. I just went tricking out on the streets.
Oh,
no, I didn't. No, I didn't. I was hanging out with friends.
Tricking out on the streets?
No.
Yeah. Can you elaborate that?
Hanging out on Broadway, you know.
With your thumb out?
No, my tits out. No, I'm only kidding. I know I didn't go there, no.
Yes, you did.
I did not. No, I didn't.
Yes, you did.
No, I didn't. See, there's a lot of things I did. A lot of things I didn't do.
Drinking out.
I'm a positive role model in the community. Never, ever. I can count on one hand how many men, how many fellas have been in my life.
Doesn't count the kids.
It's a zero. Because I haven't seen a pretty enough one that I wanted to.
None of it's pretty. They're all ugly.
They are. But I haven't seen one that their face was pretty enough.
Regardless if their face is pretty or not, the shit is still ugly.
It is. It is. That's why my number is zero.
That's crazy to me because...
And I would say we're in different phases. You grow up and change.
I'm just saying because that drug is
nasty.
An 80s drug.
It's nasty. Well, it's all over Kansas.
Like, my mom and dad did stuff like that. Like,
see, my parents
did
crank.
Those are old people. Those are old people drugs.
My parents
the
did
fact that, like,
crank, which is meth.
Drinking in the streets.
My mom used to say, like, oh, yeah, we couldn't wait. Daddy would get paid on Friday, and we'd go get some crank. And then she'd be like, my mom would say, her, my dad, and then Elaine and Tom, which were our neighbors. They would be up all weekend hanging out, barbecuing. As kids, we thought it was just shit. Like, yeah, our parents are up. We're hanging out. It's 3 o'clock in the morning. We're barbecuing outside. Never knew it was on crank. Should have known by looking at my mom's teeth.
I mean... whatever, that's an old people's drug. But so crack.
Well, it's meth now. It's the same thing. But it's not, though, because crack is all over Camden.
It's old people's drug.
Like, literally, nobody does coke in Camden. It's crack.
Yeah, of course nobody does coke in Camden.
Like, coke is a white thing, a white people thing up here, cocaine. White, up here, you won't find crack. Camden is crack.
Crack is... everywhere, but it's an older people drug. That's all I'm saying.
I didn't know. Like, I'm not even saying.
You were hanging out with
a
older
friend,
people.
Yeah, I was definitely hanging out.
How old is she?
She's about 10 years older than me.
Exactly. This is an old people drug.
Yeah, and then she tried to tell me, because I'm like, I've done a line or two before.
Now, if
like,
you were saying you were all fucked up on ecstasy or something like that.
Never did that.
Opiates, all right, not heroin.
Never did
heroin. I would believe that.
Never
but
did heroin.
Fucking crap.
Yeah.
Crack is the old people drug.
And that's not, like, yes. I'm like, yeah, just give me some powder. She's going to get it. She comes back with the stuff. I'm like, what is this? She's like, it's the same thing. I'll show you with the dough. It's the same thing. And
listen,
it's nasty, though. It's nasty.
Everybody makes mistakes.
It literally, like,
that's why we're
your high
Google
lasts for 5 minutes, and it's funny.
Crack. But it's a fucking, like, crack affected. I've never touched, saw, smelled, looked at crack. But my life was affected by it because of my parents.
I walked away from it, but I know the girls and people to that day still can't walk away from it.
You're younger than me, so it's just weird that somebody fucking,
and that's all it was.
Younger than me would... fucking,
if
like,
it wasn't for that person, I probably would have never, ever
came in
contact
drug.
With it. And that person still to this day can't walk away from it. But it's crazy because you'll see like people stand there and they're like, they get their plate and they're like, they light up their rod, take their hit, they hold it as long as they can, and they stand still, and then they start, never fail, start looking on the ground, thinking they drop shit. Just start putting shit in their pipe and smoking it. Like, it's just crazy.
Put this in your pipe and smoke it.
Everyone's the same. And I just woke up one day like, what the fuck? This shit is nasty. What the fuck am I doing? I went home and never touched it again. I don't really like to talk about that point in my life. Yeah. That was a low point, but we all got them.
Yeah. Everyone has low points in their lives.
Yeah.
But...
I am who I am today because of what I went through right then. So. Now, the question of the day is, who is the worst power mom? Tasha, Monet, or Raquel? Which mom is the worst? Now, Tasha...
Hold on. Let's rank them.
Okay. Well, let's go
let's
through who they
them.
Are first.
Okay.
So, Tasha was from Power, the first season of Power. She married the ghost. Now, she shielded her kids. Her kids didn't know anything. They didn't know how they lived the lifestyle that they lived. I wouldn't say she's shielded on. I think it's more ghost.
Well, he gave her a lavish life.
Yeah, but the kids didn't know about the drugs until it's frequent booking. But they had no idea that the parents were selling drugs or anything like that. Tasha didn't really care about the kids. Her daughter was murdered. Her son killed his father, killed Ray Ray.
She helped cover it up.
Who else did he kill?
She tried to fucking frame her boyfriend.
Yeah, for her husband. Yeah.
She was selling crack out of a daycare. She killed her best friend.
Yes, she did. She was going to kill Ghost. And then Tariq was like, she made Tariq feel so guilty. She did not want nothing to do with this boy until Ghost cut her off. And all of a sudden, she looked at him like, well, now it's your job to take care of me. And he did. He tried to step up in that role and, oh, well, I got the mommy I always wanted. I tried to take care of her. And that's why he didn't want her to kill Ghost, so he did it instead. Yeah, so, and the younger, like, you don't really see the younger one much. So, Tasha is a horrible mom.
Yeah.
Check.
Yeah, yeah. All nasty things about that chick.
Yeah.
All right,
like,
now,
it's
let's
not,
go.
Some people are just not meant to be mothers, and she's one of them.
All right.
If the kids were probably raised with a nanny or help. I'm sure they had some kind of help.
Oh, wait, not to mention she slept with Sean.
Sean and... And his lawyer.
And Terry Silver. So she got Sean, Terry Silver, and Ghost killed.
Yeah. Yeah, she got Sean killed, which is Kanan's son, actually, later on down the line.
What a fucking sleazebag Tasha's been.
All because she thinks Ghost is cheating on her. Thinks.
And if she wasn't, and then, wait, listen, he wasn't cheating on her.
Not at that time.
He would have never met Angie if this bitch just would have stayed at the club and played her role at his opening of his club.
Yes.
And then leaving and showing flashing tits and ass in the back of the limo.
Because she got jealous, like.
Because she saw him talking
to
a guest.
Well, didn't he know who she was?
No, she didn't know who she was.
He was just talking to a pretty girl.
It was the opening day of Truth.
And she got jealous and stormed out.
She got jealous, stormed out, got mad.
And then started showing her bunny to Sean. Sean was driving her home.
Sean's
driving her home, and she's like
her muff,
pulling her skirt up, like trying to show him her, yeah.
And then Sean spent all his lunch money on a gift for her, and then she tried to young boy like, oh yeah, I was in a, I, he's like what? Like so, she played
yeah.
Sean.
Yeah. So there's.
Played Terry Silver. She played her new boyfriend that she met at the daycare.
Trying to set him up for Ghost,
and she manipulated her son. So Tasha is just a flat out.
I'm surprised she actually.
And then she snitched on Tommy.
She's such a piece of shit. I'm surprised she actually went to jail for two.
This is all.
I'm surprised she didn't send him to jail. Like, no, you
did
it.
Yeah.
You go.
And she shit on Tommy.
Yeah,
and she ratted on Tommy.
She tried
was
to
like
set
her
him
brother.
Up. She tried to set him
she
up.
She didn't try to set him up. She's ratted on him in court.
Now you got Tommy on the run because of her lies.
So
piece of shit.
She's just a nasty, nasty human.
Piece of shit.
I'm surprised she didn't smash her lawyer, her new lawyer, not Terry Silver, but he probably doesn't want to smash because he doesn't want to end up dead.
Yeah. As soon as Ghost goes.
I'm talking about Meth and Man.
Yeah.
He's
still young yet.
What's his name?
We'll see in the next season.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, she's in witness protection now.
Oh yeah, she's gone. We'll see. Maybe she'll be back. She can't come back because Tommy will kill her. But now Ghost goes to jail.
Oh, wait, hold up. Hold up.
With his lawyer.
Hold
what
up. I got one more bad thing about Tasha.
Uh-huh.
So she knew that Holly was pregnant.
Yeah, with Tommy's baby.
With Tommy's baby. And
Tommy killed her, right?
Tommy killed her.
Yeah, Tommy killed
but
Holly.
You know, she conspired to kill Ghost multiple times with Tommy. Tasha's just been, and then she liked the message.
Keisha. She kind of turned the kids against Ghost because it was kind of like
she got Raina. She
like,
oh
well, if you don't want me. You like she kind of got in the kids' heads like, Daddy don't want us.
She yeah. basically made it like Angela was.
Daddy left
good.
All of us.
Yeah, yeah. So.
When he didn't, he just left her.
Yeah.
So she kind of made it out like, oh, well, don't know, like, you don't want to be with me.
NG. Okay, sorry. So that's Tasha's resume.
All right, then we got Monet from Power
Book 2.
Book 2.
And she's unique.
Ghost, yes. Then she's got...
she's what's called mother.
Mary J is actually the person who's playing it.
But she's the mother of...
Diane.
She's the guardian of the basketball player.
Diane.
Meek. No.
I forget their kid's name.
Is it Meek? Yeah, I forget the name, too. Okay. I haven't seen it in a while.
Monet from Power Book 2. Children. But anyway, here, one, Drew. All right, so we got
Drew.
Tejada.
She got Drew shot.
Yeah, so she's got three kids. All right, so we got Diana.
She makes them so drunk.
Drew, and what's the other one? It's the hitman.
Shit. Kane?
Yeah, the one.
Kane.
Yeah, Kane's her hitman.
Yeah,
like,
Kane.
Literally, he just goes around collecting bodies for his mom. Beating up whoever she wants him to beat up. Killing whoever he wants him to kill. Like, they literally train their oldest son
to be a hitman.
To be a hitman. Did her dirty work for him.
And if her husband's in prison.
And then Drew and Diane, she didn't want them to have anything to do with the business at first. Until.
She won't let them go to school.
Until she met Tariq. And then once she met Tariq, then she's like trying to send them to school to keep an eye on Tariq. Once Tariq started selling for her, then she allowed him to go to school. To fucking, she checks their phones.
Yeah.
At
she's some life like this.
25 years old, she's going through their phones.
Yeah, like, what the fuck?
But I wouldn't say that she necessarily, like, had the drugs around them. The oldest one, yes. Other two, not so much.
Tejada.
The other two weren't really so much a part of the life. Not like the oldest one. It didn't seem like they really wanted to be a part of it. She kind of kept them out of it.
The basketball player, she's
growing
also
up,
his guardian.
She's his guardian.
The one that was sleeping with the teacher.
No, I wouldn't really say.
Yeah.
She was
off. What's his name?
Andre.
Drew.
Yeah, Drew, Diana, and Kane.
And,
No, you can tell Diana.
The basketball player.
Diana and Drew. She loves Diana and Drew more than Kane.
She's like, I'll kill you myself.
When her husband is in jail.
She threatened to kill her own kid.
Yeah, they kicked him out because of Tariq. When her husband in jail is like, all right, it's time to get Drew involved. You know, have Kane take a step back and have Drew step up in Kane's role.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
She's like, well, no, I don't want to. I don't think he's ready for that.
What is the basketball
just
player?
Just like Kane do it.
What's the basketball player that's sleeping with his teacher?
I'm not sure.
The hot-ass teacher, I might add.
Let me see. The one that looks like Bonnie?
Yeah.
Bonnie Bennett. What the heck is his name? All right.
He's like, oh. That was a funny-ass scene. He's like, I'm going to have to tell.
Yeah.
What's
Howard.
His name?
All right. So Monet was really a bad mom. Like,
and then she's sleeping with that cop. Keep going.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. She's sleeping with the cop while her husband's in jail.
Yeah. Worse.
But I wouldn't necessarily say her kids are the same thing as Tasha. They were sheltered. They live a good privileged life.
Rich.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely a good privileged life. And didn't really have anything to do with the drug game until they were adults. Then we got Raquel. Raquel who
Wait, hold on. What's the basketball player's name?
I don't know. Zeke.
Zeke. Yes, Zeke. Zeke,
yes.
Yes.
Zeke, Drew, Diana, and King. Those are kids. All right. Anything else on her? She kind of like...
She got her son shot.
She doesn't... I feel like she is in a role that she doesn't know what she's done. Her husband went to jail, and she kind of just stepped up as the queenpin, and she's trying to fill the shoes of her husband. We'll see how well she does or doesn't do. But she's basically just doing everything he's telling her to do for jail. All right, then we got Raquel. Raquel only has Kanan. That's her kid. Right now, so far, it's only 5 episodes in. He's 15, and she just, he killed, allegedly, we don't know if it was him or D-Wiz that shot him. Shot somebody. Almost
that's
got
not,
killed.
That has nothing to do with the mom.
No, but almost got killed at the stash house. And,
that had nothing to do with the mom. She told him to stay away from there.
Yeah. Well, she tried. She tried to send him to school. She's like, you're going to go to this good school, and you're getting out of here. Like,
yeah.
You're getting out of
she
this
She wanted
place.
Him to go to the other school and sign him up for another type of school.
Famous and D-Wiz are like, yo, if I was you, I'd fail that test. Like,
on
I would
purpose.
Pass that. And then he's like, you know what?
That's
and he did.
Idea.
Yeah, he did, because he didn't want to go to that school. But she did. She tried to keep him out of the life as much as she could. He kind of, like, forced her hand. Made her. He was like, if you don't teach me.
He involved himself. And she had to save his life because he basically
he
had a hit
careless.
On him. He had a hit on him because he jumped in some shit that had nothing to do with him and ended up killing Buck 20.
It was kind of like almost like he's out there being careless. It's like, all right, let me rein him in. One, either he's going to get killed or he's going to end up falling in with somebody who's going to train him, teach him wrong. Like, at least I can teach him the right way to do it.
The worst thing I've seen her do was show him how to make crack.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it. So how are we gonna do this?
Let's
worst to first or best to last?
No.
Who's the worst mom?
Tasha. I think Tasha is the absolute worst.
All right.
My opinion.
Tasha
Who
Monet.
Got?
I got Tasha as the worst.
Then I would say Monet Raquel.
I say Monet Raquel.
I think Raquel, out of all of them, is the best.
I agree.
She doesn't want her son in his life. He's forced.
The only thing she did that was fucked up was kill
his friend.
His friend.
Yeah. But it's either that or it's going to be
or
him.
Or him. It was either that or him.
They knew he was coming.
She basically sacrificed somebody else's kid.
To save her life.
To save her own son's kid.
But you said that. Like, how are you going to give up one person's kid for another? Like, you're trading one mom's kid for another kid.
That's what she did. It's cold.
But like, yeah.
That's a choice a mother would have to make.
Yes.
Of course, if your
of
daughter was
a mother would make it.
Let me ask you this, okay? So we can't put it in drug terms, but okay, as in hits and shit. But if your daughter is drowning,
mm-hmm.
and her best friend, and you can only save one, who are you gonna save?
Which daughter? No, I'm kidding. Which daughter is it now?
Oh, God.
Any mother would.
Like.
Would I be able to sacrifice another kid? She couldn't either. That's why she sent Lou to do it. And he had a hard time doing it.
What?
At least she got him laid first. He had a good night. Busted at night.
Who cares? That's still fucking
before
cold.
He died.
So what I'm asking you, and I'll ask you again.
Of course, I would save my kids, yeah.
If you could only, if there was somebody who was drowning, one of your kids is drowning, I'll save you one of your kids.
Yeah.
I just won't say daughter.
Yeah, it don't matter.
One of your kids is drowning.
Matter. Any of them was.
And their best friend is there drowning next to them. You can only save one.
Of course you're going to save your
kids. Okay, so that's exactly what she did.
Yeah,
that's exactly
course.
What she did.
Because she knew if... She didn't give them a body. They're coming
end up
after
killing.
Kanan.
They're going to keep
killing
Kanan. Yes.
And she's like, you got to, hey, his family wants a body. You're going to have to put a body out there if you want this to go away.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to pay for this boy's murder.
Yeah.
And since they don't know whether it's Kanan or D-Wiz. D-Wiz is the one that went got the guns.
Yeah.
Kanan's idea, but.
Kanan's idea, but D-Wiz was down for the cause.
And in the end, you don't know who actually shot him.
And D-Wiz was running around saying that he's the one that did it. Mm. So, okay.
Yeah, he claimed
that
body.
If you want it, you can have it.
Yeah, he claimed that body.
Even though Kanan went over and talked and looked on top of him, like on some weird shit.
Yeah. So I get what she did.
And then not only did Kanan do that, but Kanan also started moving in on this girl. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Weird.
So I get her sacrificing her son's friend. Now, as a mother, I would do the same thing. But now, as D-Wiz's mother, I'd be like, could you give up my kid to save your own?
Yeah.
You see both sides. Like, of course, I would save my kid, but I'd be pissed if somebody else didn't save my kid, too.
That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. So, all right. Well, how long has that been running for?
Around 20 minutes.
All right. Well,
we got anything else? What do you think is going to happen for the rest of this episode? What are your predictions this season? There's five episodes left.
To be honest with you,
I'm not really sure where it's going.
I don't know where it's
Davina
going.
Davina is
going
to die. You heard that here first. When
think Davina's going to die?
Yes. When Jukebox was telling Kanan that Davina's the one that read it, the store owner lady was in there listening. They looked over at her. She put her head down. That's going to come back up later on. She's going to end up telling Marvin or Lou or Raquel that Davina's the one that read it.
We'll see.
Or Unique's going to kill her. Somebody's going to kill her. I don't think she makes it out at the end of the season.
We'll see. We'll see, because Unique got to get out of the way. And we also got to get to a lot
you
of people.
Unique's
got to
get out of the way?
Yeah.
In the previews for the next...
eventually run the streets, I mean, Unique's not going to be there.
The previews for the next episode, they're working together for something.
Yeah, we'll see.
We'll see where they're going. But other than Davina dying, I don't really... Not really
Davina
sure.
Davina died?
Yeah, she's going
to
get killed.
That's going to be tough to see.
She's going to get killed.
Because Davina's such a sweet little girl.
Yeah,
like,
she's going to get killed. But...
I don't know.
But...
I don't know about that.
She got involved in the drug business and gave up the stash house. That's going to come back on her.
Yeah. She gave up the stash house, but she was trying to protect Kanan as well.
She's trying to save her mom.
Yeah, from that nasty drug called
crack. I think Unique was just lying to her. Like, oh, yeah, I'll get her on a rehab. My buddy just went there.
I don't know if he was lying.
We'll see. I don't know. I don't know about Unique.
We'll see.
I don't really know where it's going.
We'll see.
You're usually good at predicting.
I don't know. That's the thing about this. I don't know where it's going.
It's not predictable. I don't
know. I can't predict it. I don't know where it's going. I can't wait, though.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
All right. So we'll see. We'll see y'all next time. Subscribe to the channel on YouTube, the Slim and Kim Show. You can click the link in the description. There's some money in the Cash App, Barbershop Talk Radio. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, Barbershop Talk Radio. Follow us on Instagram, Barbershop Talk Radio 1224. And subscribe to the channel. Hit the thumbs up. Share it. See y'all next time.
Peace.
Maybe throw your song in it.
Nah, no songs.
God Flow?
Nah. That's good. No, nothing deep.
Probably should have the Power Theme song.